This morning we looked at the first use of the word comfort in the scripture. Tonight we'd like to look at the second time the word comfort is used in the Bible. And Brother Johnson, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Genesis 18 in verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. So in verse 5, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. Abraham is talking to the Lord and two angels here, but he doesn't yet know it. But he will before things before they leave him. And in verse 2, it says, And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. So he just thought when these three people came into his view, he just thought they were just three men. He did not know there was the Lord there and two angels. But in verse 9, he finds out. Verse 9, And they say unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So, he's talking to Abraham, and he says, Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return unto thee according to the time of life. Sarah shall have a son. So Abraham here finds out he's talking to the Lord himself, the pre-incarnate Christ. And we see the other two men here were angels in verse 20 of Genesis 18:20. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So these two men here we find as we go to chapter 19, verse 1, they take off for Sodom, and we find here in Genesis 19:1 that those two are really angels. Genesis 19:1, And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. So the Bible reminds us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, Hebrews 13:2, that we too should entertain strangers, because those strangers might be angels. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained who? Angels unawares. And that's exactly what happened to Abraham there. So this morning we found that the first use of the word comfort in the Bible was referring to the birth of Noah and it would be comfort to his daddy and to others in his day. And it's interesting here, back here in Genesis 18, that Abraham should bring comfort or desire to bring comfort to the Lord and to these two angels in Genesis 18. But we'll pass on for just a moment here. But the definition of the word comfort is to support, to establish, to refresh. And that's from Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. So comfort, to support, to establish, to refresh. But how can we ever bring comfort to the Lord? That was Abraham's desire, to bring comfort to them. Well, let's look at a few things here. Number one, we can support his commandments. Look at in 1 John 5. 1 John 5, 3. Remember, the word comfort means to support, to establish, to refresh. How can we support God's commandments? In 1 John 5 and verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we what? Keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You can tell, can't you? Sometimes, maybe those of you who have men working under you, or the parents, you can tell with your children, and spouses, you can tell with your spouse. If you request someone to do something, they might do it, but you can often tell if they're really not doing it with all their heart. You can tell. You might tell a worker to do a certain task, and the worker may do it, but you can just tell in the worker's countenance, their heart's not in it. They're obeying, but their heart's not really in it. And how much more so with God? Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But you know what? We should take it to a higher level. We should really keep the spirit of those commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You know, the world thinks that obeying God is grievous. That's far from the truth, isn't it? You know what? We have found out that it's a joy to serve the Lord. It's a joy to keep his commandments. And when we do, when we have a bad attitude about obeying the Lord, our life doesn't go well. But it truly is a joy when we obey the Lord, when his commandments are not grievous. So we can support the Lord. As Abraham desired to comfort these, we can comfort the Lord in the sense that we support his commandments, because it grieves him when we do not. Notice in Genesis 6, verse 5, we can grieve God. Yes, God has emotions. We were made in the image of God, and part of God's image is he has emotions. He loves. He grieves. Sometimes he's angry. He can have joy. Genesis 6, 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it what? Repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So verse 6 said it grieved the Lord. It grieved him that he had made man. So he has emotions. We are made in his image. We have emotions. Some things grieve us. It grieves us to watch our nation. It grieves us that this our nation has this book, the Holy Bible, and they don't listen to it. They go against it. They promote sodomy as if it's a natural thing. The Bible says, God says it's against nature. They promote liquor. The Bible says we're not wise when we drink alcohol. But we watch the world. We watch the world spend millions of dollars trying to figure out how life came to be. And this book tells them. And we watch them ignore the Bible. It grieves us. This is the instruction book. And they've just about outlawed it from everything. They try anyway. How sad. What rebellion against God. So it grieved the Lord that man was going the direction that he is. But praise God for Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Abraham's desire was to comfort these three men. One of them's the Lord, two of them are angels. Is it our desire in that sense to comfort the Lord, to support what he desires, to uphold him in that, to further his cause so he is not grieved? Remember, when we serve others, we are serving Christ. Remember, we saw that recently. You know, I've thought about that. You know, if there's a sock laying somewhere, what should I think? Oh, let somebody else pick up their socks. Or if something dropped, maybe someone mistakenly, or maybe there's, I don't know, something, maybe someone dropped a Kleenex on the floor or something. You know, so oftentimes if we're not careful, we think, well, that's somebody else's job, or somebody else will clean it or pick it up. But if we think, what if Jesus dropped that? Would I pick it up? I sure would. And we've got to get our mindset thinking, you know, when we help others, that is as unto God. That's like doing it for the Lord himself, just like we saw in Hebrews 13, too. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So there may be a lot of ways that we are not serving the Lord because we're not serving others. Now notice once again in Matthew 25, this is going to be the way the Lord tests all those who are on the earth at the end of the tribulation period. This test is to show who is truly saved and who is not. This test is not to save them. It's just to show the proof of who is saved and who is not. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye what? Gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye what? Gave me drink. I was a stranger, and what? Ye took me in. Naked, and ye what? Clothed me. I was sick, and ye what? Visited me. I was in prison, and ye what? Came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of who? These, my brethren, ye have done it unto who? To me. We miss. Instead of thinking about people and all their faults and failures, we need to think about this as an opportunity to serve the Lord. We need to quit seeing the faces of people, and we need to focus on this is a way to serve the Lord. This is the way to have eternal rewards. This is a way to support God's plan, God's work. That's the thing we need to do. So oftentimes we just look at people's faults and we use it as an excuse to not help them or not minister in some way. We need to look at it as a way to be a comfort and a refreshment to the Lord. Isn't it refreshing when people are serving God? It's refreshing. I miss the park ministry. It's just being able to hear the preaching. I enjoy just recording the messages for the nursing home ministries, the assisted living, because it's being able to listen to some good preaching. And I could just listen to that good preaching all day long. It's such a blessing to my heart. And I think the world is missing because they're not tuning in. They're missing the words of eternal life. If Jesus made a statement, if Jesus had a need, wouldn't all of us gladly help? Well, he's putting people in all of our paths to see what we will do. Will we do it as unto him? If Jesus made a statement, would I make a sarcastic comeback? No, none of us would. I know some people kind of boast and they say, well, I'm a straight shooter and I just say what's on my mind. A lot of people have said that to me in their lives. Well, we don't want to be false flatterers and we don't want to be liars. But many times when someone says that, well, I'm a straight shooter and I just say what's on my mind, a lot of things they say shouldn't be said. Look at Matthew 26:41. Matthew 26:41. The reason a lot of things that come to people's minds shouldn't be said is because the flesh is weak. That's one problem. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So I'm talking about the fleshly mind. What the scripture tells us that every thought needs to be taken captive for the Lord. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. 2 Corinthians 10:5. No, we should not say every thought that comes to our mind because every thought needs to be taken captive for the Lord. And if you let that thought go out of your mind through your lips too fast, you don't have time to grab it. Have you ever said something you wish you didn't? I have many, 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 many times. But once those words go out, I'm not fast enough to grab them. Some of you young people have fast reflexes. But even you, once the word goes out, it's too late. 2 Corinthians 10:5. I'm in 1 Corinthians, so I better change here. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We'll try again. I was in 5:10. I was closer. 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, we don't know our thoughts so far off before we even have them, but God does, Psalm 139. But we don't know a thought until it comes. And then, at that point, if it's the wrong thought, that doesn't be taken captive and turned over to Christ to think as Christ would have us think. So, we can't just say every thought that comes on our mind, or we're going to be saying wrong things. Let's go to Proverbs 29:11. Proverbs 29:11. So, well, we can say, you know, we can say things like, yeah, I'm a straight shooter. I just say what's on my mind. Well, then we're going to say a lot of wrong things because it's just prideful is what it is. Proverbs 29:11. A what? A fool uttereth what? All his mind. But a wise man, what? Keepeth in till afterwards. And then allow God, those thoughts that are not right, allow God, take them captive for Christ and deal with those thoughts. But you don't just let them out. A fool uttereth all his mind. So, yeah, it's real easy to say, yeah, I'm a straight shooter. I just, you know, say what I think. Well, then according to the Bible, I'm a fool. I'm a fool. A fool uttereth all his mind. Proverbs 17:27. Proverbs 17:27. The Bible says, he that hath knowledge, what? Spareth his word. So that proves that preachers don't have knowledge, right? Well, it says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. So the messages would be a lot shorter, right? Amen. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he what? Holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So when we speak too quickly, all that's on our minds, all we show is that we're not good cowboys. We're not good at the rodeo. Let's go to James 3. James chapter 3 and verse 1. Yeah, when we speak too quickly, we just show we're not too good of cowboys. James 3 and verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we what? Offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is what? A perfect man. And able also to bridle the whole body. If we can control our tongue, we can control the whole body. God says that's the issue. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of what? Of hell. That's our tongues. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That's the tongue. So the question for us tonight is, like Abraham, his desire was, he told them to comfort ye. He wanted to feed them. He wanted to give them things to wash up. Is God finding comfort in us? When Abraham did that for the Lord and those two angels, that was a comfort. That was his desire. Do we desire to comfort God? Remember the definition of comfort. To support. Do we desire to support God and his word and his work, his plan? It means to establish, to refresh. Do we desire to be a refreshment to God? Sure. Who wants to be grievous to God? So in this sense, we all want to comfort God. And are we doing it? Let's look at Genesis 18:16. Genesis 18:16. That was Abraham's desire. When he fed these three men, he wanted to be a comfort to them. And indeed, he was a comfort to the Lord. Genesis 18:16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command what? His children and his household after him. And they shall what? Keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. May that be said of us, that we, each of us, would keep the way of the Lord, and that we would raise our children to keep the way of the Lord. I was reading of the oldest business in the world. I was curious, what is the oldest business in the world? And I found the article said this, I quote, this is from businesstoday.in. It is worthwhile to note that many family businesses fail to perpetuate beyond a generation. Only 30% of family businesses make it to the second generation. Only 3% of family businesses last for more than four generations. The oldest family business in the world is a Japanese business. It's called Hoshi Yokan. It's a hotel. It's been owned and run by the same family since 718. I did not say 17:18. I said 7:18. This business is 1,302 years old. It's a business which has seen 46 generations of the same family own it and run it. So 46 generations in 1,302 years, it's averaged about 28 years per generation. So 46 generations. I was amazed. It's interesting. What I found interesting too was the oldest known business in the world, the family business, is a business that provides lodging for people, a place for people to stay. And I found that amazing. But you know what? I hate to contradict what they said, but there is an older business than this one. In fact, it's our family business right here. And it's been from the beginning of time, because when we are saved, we're all in the same family. We are not just of a temporary family. We are of indeed an eternal family, the family of God when we are saved. And so this family business is similar to the Japanese one in that our business is concerned with providing lodging for people. Our family has gone all the way from Adam and Eve, and our family, its major concern is in finding lodging for people. But it's not like the Japanese. It's not temporary, and it's not small. Everything with the Japanese, it's like compact. There's a lot of people in a small amount of area. And motels normally are small, very small, whether it's cubicles or rooms. But notice our family business, John 14 and verse 2. John 14 and verse 2. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many what? Mansions." You see, our family business has been going for thousands of years, not just 1,300 years. But our family business, the family we are in, has been going for thousands of years. And our specialty in lodging is not little cubicles. It's mansions. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, for to go to this Japanese place, Hoshi Yokan, we'd have to arrange a flight to get there, all of us. Japan is a little ways away from us here. But you know what? Our family business, which has been going for thousands of years, and we specialize in mansions, not little cubicles. Our family business, we don't expect people to get there on their own. For our family business, our Savior is flying to get us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. He is coming. He is flying to us, to get us. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we don't offer little cubicles. We've been at this many generations longer than they have. We specialize in mansions. Our Savior and Master, he's flying to get us. We don't expect people to make their own means to try to get to us. And this lodging is not just overnight. Isn't it amazing? I can remember back when motel rooms were about $30 a night. Now they're normally over $100. And you can't even be in the room normally 24 hours. You can't check in many times until 3 p.m. and you have to be out by 11 a.m. You're not even there 24 hours and you're paying over $100. But you know what? With the lodging that our family offers, there's no checkout time. Amen? Amen. It's eternal. Notice with me in verse 17 there. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we what? Ever be with the Lord. John 10:28. There's no checkout time in the mansions we offer. The lodging we offer, there's no checkout time. Take your time. There's all of eternity. John 10:28. And I give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What a wonderful thing that is. John 3:16. John 3:16. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. This is the work of our family. This is the family of God, going back to Adam and Eve. This is our work. This is our major work of our lives, is providing lodging for our earthly family, but not just our earthly family, but we desire for all the families of the earth. Amen? That's why we try to get the gospel out. We desire that all the families of the earth have lodging. Spacious lodging, mansions, eternal lodging, no checkout time. The bill is paid. Don't even have to arrange your own way to get there. He's coming. He's flying to get us in the clouds of the air. So let's make sure that as Abraham, the second use of the word comfort, he wanted to be supportive, refreshing, a blessing to these. And by that desire to be a comfort to these three men, he was a comfort to the Lord himself and to angels. Matthew 25 reminds us that when we serve others, we are serving the Lord himself. So let's make sure our generation does its part, because we have one better on this Japanese family, and actually a million times better than this oldest business in the world. So when the phone rings this week, what are we going to say? Reservations. May I help you? Reservations? Yes, sir. Let's go to 1 Peter 1:4. 1 Peter 1:4. This is our work. This is our main work. 1 Peter 1:4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, and then what? Reserved in heaven for you. Reservations. May I help you? Reservations? Yes, sir. What? 1 Peter 1:4. Have you made reservations, sir? That's our greatest work. That's our family work, is making sure people have eternal lodging. What a wonderful work it is. Let's make sure our generation keeps it going. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in a yoke with you. We thank you for the eternal lodging that you have prepared for us. And Father, as we think about this Japanese family since the year 718, pretty amazing. But Lord, we as the family of God have an even greater longevity to our work. Our major work is reconciling people to God, making sure they have reservations for this eternal lodging. So, Lord, help us to be a comfort to you, a refreshment to you, supportive to you and your work of redemption. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.